Jesus said to the Pharisees, there was a rich man who dressed in purple garments and fine linen and dined sumptuously each day. And lying at his door was a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who would gladly have eaten his fill of the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even used to come and lick his sores. When the poor man died, he was carried away by angels to the bosom of Abraham, and the rich man also died and was buried. And from the netherworld, where he was in torment, he raised his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he cried out, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool my tongue, for I am suffering torment of these flames. Abraham replied, my child, remember that you received what was good during your lifetime, while Lazarus likewise received what was bad. But now he is comforted here, whereas you are tormented. Moreover, between us and you, a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours, from your side to ours. And so the story continues as we go along. I find that I worship God best when I'm most alive. God does not control or constrict his creatures. God loves to be surprised. I am often very surprised. It's simply remarkable that I should love God without any duty, fear, or pain, but simply take delight in God for God's own sake. This is the highest form of human love, and when we discover this in our perfect freedom, the very highest being of God resonates to us with pure joy. It's really the best form of prayer. I don't think that God really likes what I call the I'll never be good enough prayer. This is a psychologically unhealthy, self-demeaning, self-fulfilling prophecy. And when I come across it in our Catholic practices, I really try to avoid it. I suspect that God would favor our astonishment, being simply out of control over the beauty we're discovering in God's endless delight. I need to be careful about my method or way of prayer. It may be wonderfully satisfying for me, but it may not lift me out of myself so that I can be more alive to others. What God would have us become so that the radiance of his regard might pass through my inept hands and bestow life and blessing upon others, well, it just staggers the imagination. I can't even begin to consider being alive enough so that God can make use of me as he lifts others into his joy and endless delight. Perhaps our callings become mired in duty and sadness when they might be lifted to a glorious expression of blessing and joy. Recently, as I made my rounds in some rest homes, I came across what could be a kind of Lazarus figure. A woman probably in her 60s who has been bedridden for some time, and now recently, as if she didn't have enough trouble, the physical therapist applied too much pressure during a workout and broke her hip. And the woman is a perfect example of innocent misery. Yet, she was left with the question, why me? A sort of Lazarus for our time. Lazarus, of course, was dropped at the threshold of the rich man, and commentators tell us he was probably also crippled. And so we see this terrible plight of a woman, and it's haunted me ever since, really. Truly innocent suffering, being bedbound and isolated. The two other women in the room with her speak mostly Spanish, and so this lady really is a good conversationalist, and so really very much alone. I tried to break through the isolation, but I can hardly imagine her suffering and the feeling of being alone. What a challenge it is to try and reach across boundaries of life and offer some kind of comfort to innocent suffering. In today's gospel, the rich man and his brothers live heedlessly. They have a view of life where whatever happens to Lazarus simply doesn't matter. But even in their tradition, the Talmud has a saying that one who turns his eyes away from one who appeals for charity is considered as if he were serving idols. The rich man and his brothers are living heedlessly, and so only partly living. Today's gospel calls us to life and challenges us to look beyond the comfortable boundaries that we set up for ourselves. To break with the tyranny of comfortable boundaries is to enter a whole new world, and yet it can be a very uncertain world. Don't the habits and recommendations of the Christian life bring us to this very precipice of recognition? I think so. The teaching we often take from Lazarus' story is that I should notice Lazarus and treat him as a brother. Give him some food, and in doing so, please God. But I want to suggest another pathway, and that we set out on a journey not just to provide for the needs of Lazarus, to be fair, but that we approach Lazarus as another self. We bring our attentiveness to focus on the very life of Lazarus, his heartbreaks, his triumph, his joy and misery, and do so much more than just recognize wistfully that we should have provided for his material needs. There's a universe of beauty contained in the lives of the infinite numbers of men and women in our world who share the condition of Lazarus, his anonymity, his loneliness, and yes, even his hunger for all that is truly fine and beautiful. Don't we see some of this in the refugees? We might give Lazarus just what he needs. We might go even farther, make him happy and prosperous. But what if we were to do more than the demands of charity and justice, do more than placate the demands of our guilt? What if we were to turn the tables on duty and obligation? What if we could open our hearts to the actual possibility of learning to love the Lazarus at our doorstep? This is not easy. It will never happen just by being nice. You have to engage Lazarus and have a few arguments. Forgive, be forgiven, expand your world and your heart. A fuller story of Lazarus would trace how I might come fully to life. So I stopped wondering about that lady with the broken hip. I stopped weighing the meaning of it all and simply visit her with understanding and compassion. I cannot fathom the meaning of your suffering, but I can be present to this pain and witness to the beauty of your soul. A story from the book Experiencing Spirituality by Kurtzin Ketchum is helpful here. A disciple asked the Reb, "Why does Torah tell us to place these holy words upon your hearts? Why does it not say to us, place these holy words in our hearts?" The Reb answers, "It is because as we are, our hearts are closed. We cannot place the holy words in our hearts. So we place them on top of our hearts. And there they stay until one day the heart breaks and the words fall in. Perhaps if I am faithful in my attentiveness to at least some of the many people that I meet in my ministry, such a wonderful discovery may take place. By God's grace, we notice Lazarus. By God's mercy, we befriend Lazarus. By God's infinite design, we are also Lazarus made whole in the beauty of God's love."